Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Hey guys, this is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi everyone.
So we talked about the trends that we were on the lookout for 2018, but we wanted to also take a look back and see what was really popular in 2017 and talk about what our priorities were from a healthy and green perspective last year and see where we are now.
Yeah, how it evolved.
And before we get into it, what are we drinking today?
So I'm pretty excited about this one. This is, I'm calling it a mocha cappuccino martini, and it's kind of a twist on an espresso martini with a little bit of a black Russian thrown in. It's pretty just delicious.
Is that coffee grounds on the rim?
So it's coffee grounds, hot cocoa, and maple sugar, essentially.
I appreciate the coffee on it because it's, what time is it, Allison?
It is 9:19.
Perfect.
Time in the morning. For coffee drinks.
In the morning.
It's delicious. Well, cheers to 2017.
Cheers. And speaking of health trends for 2017, one thing we decided to make a healthy trend for us is our annual participation in RISE gatherings, what we affectionately call Lady Camp.
So you've definitely heard us talk about this before, but RISE Gathering is an annual women's only weekend retreat. Women of all ages attend, and some people attend with their families, some with friends, and there are some women that decide to attend alone, and they really focus on connecting not only with themselves, but meeting other like-minded women. I think really instinctively you want to call this a yoga treat, but it's not. It's definitely more than that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be if that's what you wanted to be, but you could also go through the entire weekend not doing any of that. They bring in teachers that help facilitate different workshops, all mind and body centered, but it's completely up to you what you do or don't do. I know last year when we went, you and I did do a yoga class, but then we also did more kind of non-physical learning experiences. And we actually even ended up splitting off from our group for a little bit because there was a few sessions that we wanted to do and they wanted to do different. And I know one thing that we talked about going in was that, yes, we came here together and we want to spend lots of time together, but it's also a weekend for ourselves. And if there was something that we wanted to do that others didn't, that shouldn't stop us.
Mm-hmm. And when we came to the camp, we were already pretty close. And that's one of the reasons we decided to do this trip together. But this weekend really brought us closer together. And even better than that, we did a shared accommodation. So we were in a camp bunk with a bunch of other women. And we have to say, we met people that we consider lifelong friends, and we actually plan on bunking with them again this year.
I'm so excited to see everybody. And I wrote a whole blog post on this, but my favorite thing about the weekend was that it was just come as you are. I wasn't worried about my hair, my makeup, what I was wearing. And it's kind of amazing when you take those things out of the mix, how much more time you have in the day. And I will trade my time with girlfriends for not wrestling with my hair any day.
So, of course, we're going back this year. We absolutely loved it last year and are so excited for the new professionals and teachers and sessions that we'll get to experience this year. But we want you there, too. So the details for the weekend is it's RISE Gathering Weekend 2018 takes place May 18th through May 20th, and it's on a beautiful lakefront property of Trails End Camp in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. So it's about 2 hours drive from either New York City or Philadelphia. All activities, meals, and accommodations are included, and you can select either private or shared accommodations. As we mentioned, we're, of course, doing shared. I think there's a lot of value in spending that just downtime with some like-minded women and meeting fantastic people. But the biggest thing that's included is time just to focus on you, time to focus on what's important to you, learn new things, not be a mom, not be a professional, just be you. So come join us. Specifically for our Crunchy Cocktail Hour listeners, you can get $50 off your ticket price by using the code CRUNCHY at checkout at risegatherings.com.
And we'll be there. So come say hi. We would love to meet you.
So I thought we'd start off with a look back at our 2017 from like a green, healthy living perspective. And I think for both of us, this was a pretty transformative year.
For sure.
And so maybe just taking a look at that, what we focused on, what was important to us in 2017. And then we can launch into some of the trends beyond ourselves.
Sure. Yeah. And it, like, for me, it feels like I've been doing this forever now, but 2017 was when I launched Larissa Explains It All. And I remember having a conversation. It was at work, and I think you were there. And I've always had this kind of like thirst for information. And for a long time, I've been really into this kind of healthy lifestyle. And so I love telling people about it whenever they'll listen.
Or even if they won't.
And I remember someone saying to me at one point, like, you know, why don't you put this anywhere? Like, why don't you find a way to share it more broadly? And then separately, you know, if I like find a food, a product, a whatever it is that I really like, I'm obsessed with telling everyone about it. And so I remember someone saying to me, like, you're like the ultimate consumer. You're like what companies want. Like, you find something you like and then you tell everyone. So that, coupled with kind of the healthy information, I stopped and thought about it. And I said, like, well, why don't I put this somewhere? And that's kind of how everything evolved and the ball got rolling. And like I was saying, it's hard to remember before it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you, for a period of time, I thought maybe you sold Instant Pots because of how much I heard about them.
I mean, Instant Pots and the time iron.
And the time iron. Only one of which I have.
If only I sold them, because I'd be a rich lady.
You'd be making a killing.
As rich as they are.
Maybe.
But yeah, and you know, along with that, like, you know, that's kind of a solely me thing and a creative thing that I started. But this was a big year too for family with us kind of, I feel like every time we had a new episode, I was saying I was living a new dietary lifestyle. So that was another thing that we've just been trying to, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a getting older thing. We're just kind of wanting to make sure we really are doing all the right things and taking all the right things and giving the right stuff to our kids. So this has been kind of a, I don't know, transformative year and like a fact-finding year. So it was a big year.
What about from a product perspective? Do you feel like you made any big changes this year or any big focus?
I think that I was already using a lot of kind of healthy green products, but I think I'm now getting to a place, like especially with cleaning or like things in my kitchen, I'm now slowly starting to get out of the phase of like finding things that work. I have found things that work. But then me being me, I always still want to like try more. I'm a little bit of a product junkie. So yeah, I mean, like I feel like we make changes all the time, but I think it's there's more stability.
Makes sense.
What about you?
So this, another huge year for me from like a green living, healthy living perspective, because this was the year of figuring out what Claire's allergies and Claire's skin. So, you know, prior to 2017, I don't think it was a focus for me at all. I had the products I'd been using forever from a house perspective. I kind of just could eat whatever I wanted. And this was the year we had to really be aware of what was in everything we brought into the house, from food to household products to perfumes. We had to get rid of all perfumes and colognes. It was just a huge change. And I was just aware of what was in these things and that it could be an irritant. So I think where the big focus for us this year was moving to more organic products. So specifically in food for Claire. So things that didn't have any antibiotics, things that were, you know, grown in a way that was a bit more sustainable, didn't have pesticides and things like that. And of course, just being aware of what's in everything, because we had to look for allergens.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a huge change. But then from a household product, I don't use anything I used to use.
Yeah.
Not a single thing. So laundry detergent, dish soap, dishwasher detergent, any cleaning products in our house, it's all things that I've switched to non-toxic.
Yeah.
I like to call, or Kyle noticed that we just got rid of everything with a color. Mm-hmm. So every single product we own is clear or white.
Perfect. I think that's good.
I mean, they're still incredibly effective. They just don't have that bleachy smell. Yeah. And they, I don't know.
It's hard shifting what you think it should be.
Yes.
And I think it's been interesting for me to watch, too, because I think it's really natural as a parent to want to do better for your kids than you do for yourselves. You were kind of thrown into a situation where you were forced to do better.
Yes.
For Claire. I'm sure you would have anyway. But it's been interesting to watch that transition of like, okay, well, I do these things for my child. How come I don't do them for myself? And, you know, you've started to do some of those things even when you didn't have to or they weren't concerning her. You're starting to look at things for yourself, which I think is awesome because, yes, only the best for the kiddos, but we are people too, and our health matters as well. So that's been cool to watch.
Yeah, that was definitely a big shift because I guess I started to realize, wait, if I'm taking these things out because they're not good for my kid, why does that make them okay for me?
Yeah.
And so it's been a big switch, and especially as, you know, I think we talked in a couple episodes ago or maybe in just one, the skincare and makeup routine, I've already started to make some really big changes and I've noticed a difference. And so that's the biggest reward is when you make a change and you notice a difference in how you feel, how your skin looks, especially with Claire and her eczema. When we switched out our laundry detergent, we noticed a difference. So I just feel like when you get that quick reward of I am better because of these things, then it's just you keep it up.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to paint it as like all roses too. Like sometimes you try something and you're like, this sucks and this doesn't work like my other stuff, or this is really expensive, or, you know, like it's not all easy. And the first like green clean product you pick up is the winner. But after you find the thing that works for you, like you were saying, like it just you not only get the same effects that you were looking for, whether it's in your beauty routine or your house, but you also somehow internally feel better knowing that it's safer.
Agreed. Yeah.
Because definitely. Now you know what you know and you can't unknow it. And that's part of my problem. Like maybe I should stop reading, but I can't unknow what I know.
Like I can't use that. It was my face cream the other day. I have a bunch of this face cream and now I feel like I can't use it.
I had to, I'm sure we're going to get into this in detail, but like I sent her a message and I was like, I don't know how to tell you this.
Stop using this immediately.
Is all garbage.
And I can't put it on my skin now without thinking about it.
It's working.
Well, the other big kind of bucket for us, of course, having a newborn in the house was sleep this year.
Yeah.
So focusing on getting her into a healthy sleep routine. And I think it makes you more aware of your own sleep habits. And so we put a big focus and emphasis on sleep this year. And I have to say it's paid off because we have an amazing sleeper. So I was telling Larissa, she was feeling very tired yesterday. So went to bed early, and early for her is she went to bed at 5:45. She's usually a 6:30 sleeper. So we're like, oh, we're going to expect such an early wake up. Nope. Slept until 8:15. Just needed it.
Don't get used to it.
I won't. But God, it was amazing. But we also did put like a really concerted effort into trying to get her to be a good sleeper.
And it makes a difference.
It's paid off tenfold.
It makes a difference. Yeah. I don't want to veer off on that whole thing. But sometimes when you're so tired, it's just easy to do the easy thing. But when you put in the work and like get the kids on a routine and have some really bad nights yourself, the payoff is so great at the end.
It really is. It is. Maybe we should do another whole episode on baby sleep.
It would be interesting to talk about like things, like really specific techniques that worked for us. Cause I tried out lots of methods, especially with having twins. Like there was, you know, cry it out and don't cry it out. And that might be interesting.
And I think especially moms, sometimes when they're really struggling with sleep, they hear some of these methods and they just sound so barbaric, and it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
But, and then of course we couldn't talk about 2017 without talking about the launch of Crunchy Cocktail.
wait, I don't know. I didn't think about that.
I know. So when did we launch? August?
October. Welcome That's back to same. Reality.
I think August is probably when we started working with the network.
Yeah.
It must have been.
Have we ever talked about how that came to be?
I don't think so. I don't think we've ever done this episode.
So it was like a few months into Larissa Explains It All, and Allison and I were like, I don't know. I feel like we were always talking about like, you should write about this or you should write about that. And then Allison said to me one day, like, we should do a podcast, like, and I'll do it with you. And
I think I started like, with, you should do a podcast.
I don't remember what the first conversation was, but I remember I was immediately like, no, no.
That was your first reaction.
And then Allison like hung back for a couple of weeks and then she came back and she was like, so about this podcast idea. And then I think it kind of like morphed and then I warmed up to the idea and then I was like, mm-hmm. okay, but you're doing this with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was, I think, getting used to the idea, you were like, and I found this network.
Yes. Because part of it was, you know, we're both working moms. So free time is at a premium. And so we were looking for an opportunity to do this in a way where we could work with people to learn so that we didn't have to be starting from scratch. And so we found the Life Lesson Network. And I remember the day we submitted our proposal to them for the podcast idea over margaritas because, of course,
Larissa, because I was there.
And they were interested. And here we are many, many months later. Many podcasts in and many feeling. I feel like it's been an adventure. It's been a roller coaster at times, and I think we're really enjoying it.
Yeah, and I think my only, you know, I think we get a lot out of it. I think these are conversations we have together anyway. Where I'm like, Allison, stop using that. you're like, Larissa, leave me alone. and I think the relationship between us when it comes to this topic is the relationship that people have in their heads where they want to do better and they don't know what to do, or they're overwhelmed by it, or they're like, I just really love this stuff. I know it's bad and I don't care.
It's still great.
So I hope that that's helpful. But I also think like we have a lot of fun doing it. We have a lot of fun, like, I don't know. I think you described it as like scratching the like creative itch in your brain type of thing. And I don't know. We can only hope that like I can only hope that it helps someone in some way or gets them to relook at something that they're doing and maybe do it in a healthier way, even if it's a small change.
Mm-hmm. Or just gives you an escape from your everyday. So maybe you're already focused on some of these things and you just enjoy listening to our crazy banter.
Or I'm just here for the drinks.
Or
I'm just here for the drinks.
Girl, I get it. Get it.
And I don't even have to make them.
Actually, we tried that and instead just had beer because Larissa can't make drinks.
I mean,
it's all right. We all have our skill set.
That is not mine.
We're all there.
I can drink with the best of them.
So 2017, huge year, I think, for both of us personally, and for our little, what are we going to call them, our pet projects of Larissa Explains It All and Crunchy Cocktail Hour. And it's just been, it was an incredible year and we're really excited for 2018. So in order to kick us off for the new year, we really just want to make sure that we're touching on things that are really important to you. So we thought what we'd do is a Q&A episode. And I think we've done an Instagram Live to talk about this, but I just wanted to give it another plug to see if there's anything else that you guys want to hear from us. Do you have any questions about us from a personal perspective, about your specific products, literally anything that you want to ask us? You can always send us an email at hello@crunchycocktailhour.com. You can direct message us on Facebook and Instagram, or you can just comment on one of our pictures and we're just sort of taking all that information and putting it into an episode where we'll really dig into your questions and make sure that we're giving you guys stuff you want to hear.
Totally. So send those our way.
So what we thought we'd do next is, you know, those were sort of some focus areas for us in 2017. But from a broader perspective, I think 2017 was really a year where I want to say the masses were focused on health initiatives in different ways, shapes and forms. There was a lot of just interest in healthier products and diets and things like that this year. And so we wanted to touch on those things and just talk about some of these bigger, broader trends in health for 2017. Sure. And see if you've heard of them. And if you haven't, maybe take a look. It'd be interesting to see how some of these evolve in 2018. Yeah. Especially some of the more nuanced diets. I feel like those are so trendy.
Well, it's always like, this is healthy. No, it's not. This is healthy. No, it's not. Yes. Like, you know, it just.
Here's a study that completely contradicts that study.
Yeah. And that's why I always like, you laugh, but I always say like dietary lifestyle, because I don't think like diet, this like very specific, I don't know.
Doesn't work.
Eat this, not yes. that ever.
Yes.
Just never works.
And then you can't have fun. You should be able to have fun with food. Food is one of my favorite parts of every day.
You need to enjoy life. I wholeheartedly believe that everything, most things in moderation, most things,
most things without toxins, most things without toxins. So I think you haven't had a chance to delve into this list too much, Larissa. So I'm surprising you a little bit with some of these.
Yeah.
So, I think a lot of them are things you've either written about or, potentially just shared your favorite products on yeah. these. So we can, as we go through, maybe just share your thoughts on each.
Sure.
So the first one, and which I find interesting that this is a trend that's picking up steam, but natural deodorants.
Yes.
And we talk about this all the time.
Yes. Well, we've talked about it all the time because you were like, okay, I'm going to try it. And then you were like, I don't like this. Back to my old stuff.
Yes. I did a lot of flip-flopping. I think I have a little shelf of natural deodorants that didn't work for me. But I think that's your biggest thing.
Yeah. So I did have a blog post on this, and I will... we can link this in the show notes, but you know, I see posts like this all the time, like on Facebook, where people ask like, oh, what's your favorite natural deodorant? And somebody's like, oh, you have to try this. It's awesome. But the reality is that my body chemistry and your body chemistry is completely different. And what works for me may not work for you. And it's down to, you know, a lot of the natural deodorants are scented with essential oils. And just the smell of an essential oil with your body chemistry might not mix. Like mm-hmm. I love, like I always say, like, I love the smell of lemongrass. And every time I would get a natural deodorant, I would get like lemongrass. But like, then I smell weird because it just doesn't work for me. But I think the biggest message there is, yes, there are some kind of fan favorites in terms of deodorants that work for most, mm-hmm. but, and you have to start somewhere, but don't be surprised if you try something on a friend's recommendation for a natural deodorant and it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
And also know that you have been using something very, very different for a very long time, and it will take you time to get your body used to using something different. So, no natural deodorants or antiperspirants.
Which I think is that's mental shift for a lot of people, because you will still sweat.
Yep.
Yep. You just won't smell.
Yeah. But like things that I found, like little tips are, you know, some deodorants are baking soda based and some deodorants are charcoal based. And I have found for me personally, and I'm a sweater, that the charcoal based stuff keeps me a little bit drier. Hmm. And now I'm just used to it. Like, and it's natural to sweat. And
yeah,
like, I don't know why we have to hide that, or just the, I don't know, I could go off on this topic, but just like the thought alone that you're trying to trap something in your body that's supposed to happen from happening, like reason alone,
yeah.
Like forget the stuff in the deodorants that are out there, but just, I don't know.
But the biggest change is the aluminum, right? That's the biggest thing that's not in natural deodorants that is in regular deodorants.
That's right. And aluminum, is present, in almost, well, all antiperspirants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's got, there's no amount of aluminum that should be in your body. Like that's it.
Especially for women.
I don't know what the numbers are, to be quite honest with you, but the number of breast cancers that are kind of right in that armpit region are astounding. And aside from cancer, it's also linked to like Alzheimer's and things like that. So it's just not something that's supposed to be in your body. And for me, again, like if we're balancing between like I sweat a little or health risks, like I'm not going the health risk route.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think what's interesting from 2017 is that is a general trend. So if you go into pretty much any store that sells deodorant, you will find at least one natural option, which is fantastic. Companies are noticing that people are wanting to make that shift and understanding the fact that people are not wanting aluminum in their products. So more and more of these big companies are listening and responding.
Yeah. And I won't go into detail because you can read this in the post, but it's not just aluminum. It's phthalates and parabens and fragrance and triclosan. And there's a ton of stuff that's in the mainstream stuff. And, you know, I just think that it's one of the first products that the reason we're seeing it, that kind of big move to change that, because it's one of the first products that I would also recommend to someone to switch out. Because for me, it's always the things that you use on the daily or that you use multiple times a day. Like, it's not like I wouldn't tell you swap out the face mask you use, you know, two times a month. I would tell you swap out the stuff that you use on the daily. And deodorant just happens to be one of them.
Yeah. And it makes sense. So in early days, conversations about going, living a healthier lifestyle with Larissa, I was like, you will change many things about what I use on the daily. You will not change my mascara and you will not change my deodorant.
I will not put my deodorant on with my fingertips.
No, I was not comfortable with that. So I've tried a ton because, of course, I was wrong and I decided to start switching things out. And I tried a ton of different ones and I wasn't finding one that I liked. And then on a whim, I was just at the store and I picked up a stick. That was my thing. I don't like putting anything on that's not a stick. I like the stick. And I found one that I like and I don't think I will need to go back now. I feel comfortable with it. I use it every day. I don't feel like I'm sweating a ton.
That's fantastic.
It's definitely not an antiperspirant at all, but I just don't feel like I don't feel overly sweaty or anything. I think my body's adjusting.
Just works.
And it's the oil works for my skin.
And it's good to also point out, because it goes back to our original point, which is you tried the one that tried one that I use all the time and it didn't work for you. And I love it. And we can actually like link what we use or tell you what we use. But I don't know. I think a lot of the main ones that work for people I have linked in my blog post so people can give them a try.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this, you're going to make a face, but most of these natural deodorant companies know that you have to go through several deodorants in order to find the right one. And they have usually a 30-day window that they will say, if this doesn't work for you, return it.
Oh, that's
maybe
great.
And they'll say, why don't you try this? Like, if this scent doesn't work for you, why don't you try unscented from us? Or why don't you try a different formulation or just return it?
Oh, that's awesome.
And I know you don't like returning things.
It's not that I don't like it. I just don't.
But
don't
feel like it has to be this costly thing to try this out. Most of them know that this is how it works. And so they let you return it.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
I should have known
that. It's like a worry-free type of thing. So
yeah. So we'll link ours, the ones that we use. And like we said, it's a trial and error. So find one that works for you. The next big one that we're seeing all over the place are these high fat, low sugar diets. So some examples would be a paleo, a ketogenic diet. And what's interesting is this year, a lot of studies came out around how unhealthy fats are. So I think it was like the 90s. It was big to have low fat, no fat foods, which are just chock full of chemicals. And more we're seeing studies that say those products are actually what's helping us gain weight rather than the opposite.
Because the low fat's full of sugar.
Exactly. Right? And the full fat products can actually help us absorb other nutrients for our body, which are necessary for our good health.
Right.
So it's just interesting to see that shift, that mindset shift from don't eat fat, reduce fat as much as possible to people wrapping things with bacon and that being considered healthy.
Yeah. But I think I continually watch this because I feel like everyone was paleo and doing Whole30. And then it's like keto came out and it was everywhere. And I'm still watching to see what dies out because I don't know. I think that they're both, I think that they both can be lifestyles.
Yeah.
I don't think that they are so restrictive that someone couldn't maintain it, but it's just kind of one of those, like, is anything a fad or is it something that someone will truly maintain and see the health benefits of? Because I think on any one of these diets, someone can find the list of pros and the list of cons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, you know, the good thing to come out of this fad is the message to avoid low fat and no fat products.
Yes.
Because typically if that's happening, like Larissa said, it's chock full of sugar or it's chock full of other chemicals to help with that reduction in fat content. So just think about that as you're looking at your low-fat yogurts. You're looking at any boxed item that says
reduced fat. And it's tough because that's what's marketed to us, right? And if you're someone that wants to do better, like I feel like I see this all the time. You're someone that wants to do better, but you don't really know how. Mm-hmm. And you walk through the aisles and you see this like low sugar, low fat, no added blah, blah, blah. And you just pick up the box because, well, that looks right. I don't want that. I don't want, you know, X, Y, Z. But really the back of the box tells you a very different story. So I think to your point too, you're just seeing people be more conscious about their diets. Mm-hmm. And that alone is really great.
And I think that's a good transition to the next one, which is minimal ingredient products.
Yeah.
So more and more, I think people are just aware of what's in their product. So you're seeing these bars come out. I think there's like That's It bars, which is, you know, it's just like five ingredients or No BS, I think is another one. And literally it's...
Well, that bar has a little BS, but...
Oh, does it? All right. Well, there, post something about that because I didn't know.
A little BS on the back, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
There's like an asterisk. Here's the other ingredients.
Yeah. There's a little natural flavor or whatever thrown in there. You're like, what is that?
Yeah, that's a whole lot of
a little BS
stuff.
But I digress.
I think what I find interesting about that, whether or not the products are actually good, it's companies, big companies, that are acknowledging that people are paying more attention to what is being put into their food. And so that trend, I'm on board with. More and more people being conscious of what they're eating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a fair one and it's a good one. And I think historically, the food companies kind of sole focus was what can I put in this that will make it last as long as possible on the shelf? And unfortunately, that was a ton of preservatives and things that you don't really want to be consuming and things that you couldn't pronounce. And people are getting, there's a lot of companies that I'm seeing that are focused more on smaller batch, cleaner ingredient. And, you know, it's what people are growing to want. They want to be able to flip it's one thing I feel like when you flip over a skincare product, and we're not chemists. And anytime you show me a product, there's no doubt ingredients on it that I have to go look up and decide if I care about it or not. But when it comes to like literally putting it in your mouth, it should be food.
Yes.
It should be actually food. And I don't think there's like a ton of foods I can't pronounce. Right? Like,
true. Except for quinoa. I feel like nobody could say that in the beginning.
Nobody can say quinoa?
In the beginning.
Let's not talk about what things you can't pronounce.
Let's talk about what things you can't pronounce. All right, guys, settle this score. We did the poll about how to say cumin.
It's cumin.
Oh, which one won?
I don't care.
Cumin.
I know, but it's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry,
listeners. Larissa thinks you're wrong.
We're going to ask the Google. We're going to ask the Google to pronounce it.
It's the masses.
No. No, no, no. This is the whole premise of all of this is like, just because you think something doesn't make it true.
See, Larissa's really good at admitting when she's wrong.
We're going to ask the Google. The Google knows.
The people know.
Fine.
Power to the people.
We'll ask the Google.
So the next one I know we talked about in our last episode, it is collagen.
Oh my gosh, I love collagen.
It's like a big thing this past year. So I think... You know, we talked endlessly about the benefits of collagen, and we both use it or eat collagen, drink collagen, probably more drink it every day. But you're seeing more and more of it, like those Vital Collagen One serve things I'm seeing at the checkout line at certain stores. More and more people are actually using collagen.
Totally, because there's like literally no reason not to. Mm-hmm. And I think there's people that have been on this bandwagon for some time and there's people just learning about it. But the reality is, as we get older, we produce less collagen and that affects our gut and it affects our outward appearance, like your hair and your skin. And like sometimes I don't often think about it, but like your eyelashes are hair. Mm-hmm. And so it's even down to that, your fingernails. And so consuming collagen, whether you do it in a powder form and that you throw into your coffee on the daily, tasteless, Or you start drinking like bone broth or mm-hmm. make soups with bone broth. You were talking about the, you know, little collagen kind of minis, but they now have like one serve bone broths you can pop.
Really?
Yeah, like a little shot.
Can you maybe link to where you got your bone broth?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
do you make your own?
I have made my own, but you can, there's great sources to buy it. And there's great sources to buy it that are like in a, I don't know, travel sized or like on the go, like if you want to do that. But it's so easy to make, especially with the Instant Pot. But yeah, there's just no reason not to take it. In a matter of weeks, you can see a difference. Like if you start paying attention to your eyelashes, your skin. And for me, a big one is the gut. Like it's just, it's good for your stomach and it's good for your general, it's good for your general well-being in and out. So it's a small price to pay for me to get a quality collagen product that I take on the daily. And then I don't need, you know, the special mascara to boost my eyelashes or the extra products for my skin. Like I feel like the collagen is taking care of it.
And it's all natural.
Totally.
All it is.
As long as you get
collagen.
It from a quality source.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Definitely look at the ingredients and look at where you're getting it. Yeah. And I think we've linked our favorites many times. We'll just relink those.
Yeah. And one good thing to point out too is, you know, collagen kind of, it comes in different varieties. There's, you know, there's a, like a beef version and a marine version. If you're interested in getting it like from fish, but, you know, it comes in two varieties in terms of whether or not you can dissolve it in a drink or whether or not you actually want it to kind of gel and you can make little snack treats out of it. You can give it to your kids. You can give it to yourself. So you can find kind of what works for you. And I've seen people do like people who do like bulletproof coffee or bulletproof matcha or things like that.
What is that?
We can talk about it in a second. They'll use the gelatined, like the form of collagen that gelatins when they put that in a blender because it froths more for whatever reason. It's bizarre. Bulletproof coffee, I've actually been starting to look into. I'm not super smart on it yet, but it's essentially a form of coffee that includes MCT oil, which is kind of the good fat from coconut oil. And you put that in, you put some like ghee, some people put maple syrup, you like stick it all together for this like, it's almost like a meal in a cup. But you get this like, you put it in a blender, you get this like very frothy, fatty, like beverage that's supposed to be like great for your brain, great for the caffeine pick me up.
Okay.
And some people do it with, essentially you need just like a high grade caffeine.
Okay.
And so some people also do it with matcha because matcha is a great source of caffeine
as
well.
Can you make me this?
Yeah.
I want to try.
Yeah. I haven't officially made one for myself, but I have matcha at home and I have good coffee at home. So maybe we'll do a tasting.
Oh, I like it. That's
maybe we'll
fun.
Do a tasting. So, and
can I make a bulletproof cocktail?
Maybe. We could do it like over ice.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to do a little bit more research on it and figure out like exactly what I want to put in it. You could put your collagen in, obviously. Yeah. I mentioned that, but you just need like high quality coffee, high quality MCT oil, ghee, and collagen.
Yeah.
Or whatever else you want to put in it. Anyway.
You put other vitamins or
I digress.
Something. I like it. So the big sleep one that is on the list is around sunrise alarm clocks. Have you heard of these?
I've heard of people having them. Yeah. My sunrise alarm clock is a jolt from my children. So
it's the same thing.
Me waking up slowly is not going to happen. But tell me more.
So these have been around for a long, long time. But essentially what it is it's a light that's a natural sunlight, obviously artificial. And it just gets brighter as it gets closer to the time that you want to wake up. So you set your alarm and then it starts, I think it's about half an hour in advance. It starts really, really, really dim and it just gets brighter. So it's supposed to wake you up a bit more naturally than just all of a sudden your alarm hits and there's a sound.
Yeah.
So Kyle and I had one for the longest time and we really liked it. It was gradual. You just feel more refreshed and I just feel like the wake up is less jarring.
I would imagine this is really great in the winter when it is so dark out when you're waking up. Like, I feel like if you have kids or you're going to a job in the morning, it's dark when you're getting up.
For sure. And so we did like it for the longest period of time, but now we have different wake ups. So it's not really fair to the one that's like sleeping in a little bit to have the room suddenly bright that you can't really sleep through it. So
well, I mean, who cares about him anyway?
I know, but still. Actually, no, it would be me. Oh. I'd be the one still sleeping.
Never mind. It's a terrible idea.
So we stopped using it. But I think if we get back to a point where we're waking up at the same time, it'd be nice to have. It's a really nice wake up. But this is the year that a lot of people picked up on the trend because there's been so much focus on sleep and the importance of sleep. And so it's really picked up steam. You'll see it all over the place.
I really wonder what this would be like using this for a child.
That's
like
a good question.
Not a baby, obviously, but you know, my kids are 4 and a half. They wake up on their own and they wake up roughly around the same time every day. Sometimes they're grumpier than other days, but I wonder what that would be like as you go from like toddler to, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
There's one alarm. I wouldn't even call it an alarm clock, but it's a clock meant for kids that you can set it for specific times. So if you set it for 7, what will happen is it will tell, like, this thing will light up that will say, time to wake up.
Oh, I have that.
It does, and says you can leave your room.
It's an okay to wake clock. Yeah.
Do you like it?
I like the concept.
Okay.
Until you have a child that's smart and big enough to get up, push the button and go, it's green. So like we tried to use it and it worked for like a minute till they figured out how to make the light turn on. Okay. And it was over.
And then game over.
And they were like, what? It's on.
You're like, that's not how this works. I know you press the button.
I was kind of impressed. I was kind of impressed by them.
So another big trend that I saw this year was at home testing. And I'm sure you've seen, well, you've done some.
I've done a food sensitivity test.
Yes. So that's one of the big ones. Another one is microbiome testing. And then, of course, DNA testing. Yeah. The only one that I've done is the DNA testing, which I really liked. My mom's really big into Ancestry, so she asked that we do it.
So what does that tell you? How much detail do you get with that?
I wouldn't say, like, from a health perspective, I don't think that it's particularly applicable.
It's not great for that. Okay.
But it, you know, it does give you sort of the breakdown of where you're from and, you know, your different bloodlines, where there's trace amounts of different things. So I wonder if there could be more of an application for health. I just don't think they're there yet.
Sure.
Or perhaps they are, and I'm just not aware. But the microbiome sounds really interesting. So essentially, it's testing the bacteria in your gut to see what are the factors that impact your health specifically based off of what's in your belly.
Interesting. Is that the same testing? I wonder. I'll have to look it up. Is that the same testing that also tells you kind of if you need medications, what medications might work best for you?
I think that's more from a personalized medicine perspective. I don't think that would be microbiome. I think that would probably be blood, a blood test. So this is stool.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's helpful. I think that would be the slight nuance there, because that has to test something with your DNA.
Yeah, probably.
Which I don't think you can get.
Because I know that they're starting to use that a little bit more, right? Like if you need a medicine, which medicine do you take?
It's big in oncology because there are just such specific nuanced cancer cells for individuals.
I've even heard it for mental health now, for depression and anxiety and things like that, just like very slowly starting to look at that because people do react differently to different kind of drugs.
Yeah. And finding I think putting people on the wrong one can have really, really negative effects.
The emotional roller coaster in that case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's tough.
So you've done the food intolerance test.
I've done a food sensitivity test, which is a little bit, I don't know what the word is, contentious anyway. Like some people say they work, some people say they don't. But I was having like a lot of stomach issues. Just like, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. And I wanted just like a place to start. And so I found it to be really, really easy. I used a company called Everlywell. And they actually carry a lot of different tests, which I think are really interesting and not contentious. Everything from like, you can test your breast milk to make sure it's like good high fat content. They have fertility testing. They have what I find to be amazing is STD testing. If, you know, you want to do that in the privacy of your own home, tons of different tests. But essentially, they send it to you. They send you all the materials. You prick your finger. You send in the blood sample. And then within a few weeks, you have your results kind of online and in a way that I found to be really easy to read and easy to understand. And then, you know, I don't know if this is offered with kind of like all the services, but they also gave you access to a Facebook community where they have nurses in there that you can ask questions about yourself specifically. So it's just kind of like an added. I didn't. I think I might have done like a Facebook video or something, but to just tell people about it. But yeah,
like link to that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I think it's interesting. And we have so much less time in the day. And like from that perspective, being able to do things like from home is so nice.
Yeah, maybe I'll give that a try this year.
Yeah.
So we can't talk about 2017 without talking about the Aston.
Oh, my favorite appliance.
I mean, this was the trend of 2017. I mean, everybody got an Instant Pot.
Everyone that I talked to, for sure.
Guess who didn't? For me, it just seemed like one additional appliance. But the more and more I'm talking to people, I feel like I just need to get it. And so the reason I think this was a big trend is nobody has time. Everybody wants to cook healthy home meals. Mm-hmm. And this is just a great balance of the two.
I love it. So, I mean, I will say that you can, it's kind of like an all-in-one, and you can throw away your crock pot in lieu of having the Instant Pot, because it is I'm gonna name them all, right? It's a crock pot, you can saute in it, you can pressure cook in it, which is like the speed of, you know, getting dinner on the table quickly. You can make yogurt in it, you can make rice in it, you can make soup in it. Like there's literally nothing you can't make in it. And I've made like entrees in it. I've made desserts in it. I've made limoncello in it. I've made everything in it. And some people are making soap in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Like anything. And the beauty of like pressure cooking is it's just so quick.
It's fast. And you can do things that are meant to be slow cooked with the same results in like 15 minutes.
Yeah, you just have to. And I found lots of ways to take a regular recipe that I had and kind of like find a way to Instant Pot it.
You also have a community on Facebook.
I have a Facebook group because I think there's so many recipes out there, and like searching on Pinterest is a little bit daunting. So why not like hop on there and see that, you know, so-and-so tried it and they were like, this was yummy. And I go, all right, well, I'll try it next.
That's so funny.
But you know what happened to me last week?
What? Oh, no.
Do you know what happened to me last week? I have my Instant Pot on the counter because I use it very regularly. I had made a soup and then I had not used my Instant Pot for a while. And then maybe a week's time, I hadn't used it. And so I was making some kind of grain for dinner. I went to open the lid to put my Instant Pot in, or to put my grains in into the pot. And I realized that I had not emptied the soup from the last time I made it.
So
and it
gross.
Was gray. And it had
and furry.
And it looked like it had grown a brain.
Oh God.
And I was alone. Let me tell you this. I can deal with vomit. I can deal with poop. I can deal with anything kids throw at me, but I can't deal with gross food.
Like
there is something
food.
About it. I couldn't put that lid on fast enough. And it has like a special way you lock it. And I was just fumbling and shaking and freaking out.
Bill, come home.
Oh, my God. The second he came home, I was like, ah, help me.
Wait. So quick sidebar on Crock-Pot.
Yes.
Do you watch This Is Us?
No, I haven't watched This Is Us because I just don't want to cry. And I know it's going to happen.
That's why I stopped watching Grey's Anatomy.
Parenthood take two.
Yes.
And I just can't. I'm not ready.
Or worse. So
I'm still recovering from Parenthood.
So spoiler alert if you haven't seen latest episodes, but apparently the dad dies from like a freak crockpot incident.
Why are you telling me this? It's terrifying.
I know. Crockpot had to issue a statement that it's big. People are throwing out their crockpots because of this. And granted, this is from it was supposed to be in the 70s.
Wow.
This is fake.
Yeah.
And so they had to issue.
It's a fair point too. That some people are not getting the Instant Pot because there's,
because it's a pressure cooker.
Pressure cooking is a little bit scary, but it's very easy to use. So buy one.
I know, I'm going to get on the bandwagon.
So good.
So intermittent fasting was huge in 2017. And so I've had a client that was so into fasting that he would send me articles all the time. It seems interesting. And there's kind of two types. There's one where it's sort of like a time-based fasting. So essentially
that's the one I know.
Eating and drinking from you don't eat or drink anything between 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Well, it's any time, but it's 16 hours.
Yes. So 16 straight hours of eating and drinking nothing. And it just sort of, they say it just lets your body refresh and, your organs work properly if you're not putting anything in it.
Yeah. It's kind of two-parter. One is it gives your body enough time to get to a place where it's no longer processing any food. And therefore, it wants energy and is hungry and starts eating away at the fat store that you have. And then two, there's a lot of studies starting to come about that it might help you live longer, because when your body gets into that kind of starvation mode and it doesn't have what it needs, it finds a way to fight. And so it just finds a way to sustain you longer, if that makes any sense. And in the long run, it could help you live longer because it's kind of been in these fight or flight situations.
That sounds crazy, but I get it.
It's a little bit of a reach, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense. So the other sort of camp of intermittent fasting is for two consecutive days. People that follow this approach, I think it's called I think it's 5-2 or something. For two consecutive days, they will only allow themselves 500 calories. So you can eat pretty much whatever you want the other days, and then 2 days of the week, you only eat 500 calories.
I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah. So it's just a longer period of time, and it's during the day, which I feel like would be the biggest challenge. I think what I like about the other approach, the overnight approach, is that you're sleeping.
Most of it's at night. It's just a couple of hours in the morning. And I've even seen a lot of people who are pretty regimented about intermittent fasting, they will still allow themselves a black coffee, handful of almonds, something very, very small to get them through those hours until lunch. Mm-hmm. And there's now actually, to add to this, a big push around fasted cardio.
Oh, okay.
So people who are doing intermittent fasting are now adding cardio on top of it, because it's that booster of, my body's eating away at the fat store that's in my body to help me lose weight. I'm going to throw some exercise on top of it.
Yeah.
In order to, I don't know, help that along.
My only concern with this one is I feel like this would be one that would be easy to take too far.
Sure.
And it could become a bit of disordered eating. So that's anytime for sure. That's the case. So, anybody that struggles with any kind of disordered eating, I would not recommend intermittent fasting. Yeah. But it does. I mean, there's some logic behind it. There's some great studies around it.
Yeah. I'm interested in looking into the second version of what you just mentioned. I've never heard of that. And to me, that seems a little bit too much of a play with your body.
That one seems like a challenge.
Aggressive. And I'd be curious to see is this something that someone made up as an offshoot off of starting to be evidence-based intermittent fasting, or is there actually something behind it?
Yeah.
The reason people are doing it. So I'm curious to go look.
So another huge thing in 2017 that we even have talked about a little bit is health documentaries.
Oh gosh.
They didn't all come out this year. I would say that there's ones that they've been coming out for a while. You think about Super Size Me back in the day. There's Fed Up. There's What the Health. There's a ton of these. I think they gained a bit of notoriety this year. I think people really not only watched them, but made changes based off of them. So another trend based off of this is plant-based diets.
Totally. And I am a product of that, right? I definitely tried it. I think the whole documentary fad is, it's a little frightening, because I think a couple of them came out. All of them definitely have an agenda. Some of them have more false facts than others. And I worry that, some of them have really fantastic information, but of course they're trying to push a specific message. And sometimes they do it by scaring people.
Mm-hmm.
And
scared me.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's, I'm so for educating people so that they can take that information and say, how does this apply to me? How do I want to make a change? Do I want to go all in? Do I want to do this a little bit? Whatever it is, I'm not for pushing a little bit of fake information with the real information to overblow it and to scare someone into making a change.
Yes.
That's not, I don't know. No. It's just not my way.
Well, and documentaries at the end of the day are also trying to make money.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to get an audience. It's also a bit of entertainment. And so you always, just always, anytime you're watching those things, take it with that grain of salt and make sure that you're doing your own research outside of the documentary and that you don't freak out.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's tough because the word documentary alone leads you to believe that what you're going to hear is facts. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the time, if you watch like a, but I think most times when you watch like, you know, a history documentary, it's going to be pretty right on and people aren't going to truly like embellish stuff. But I don't think that that's the case. And, you know, with some of these food things and maybe some of it just because it's based on the topic, it is a little bit subjective.
Yes. Although if the message you received from Supersize Me was stop eating fast food, good.
Yeah.
Keep that one going. That one's okay.
Oh my gosh. I remember when that came out. That was crazy.
It was crazy. And I do love fast food.
Allison.
I just said on the Crunchy Cocktail, I love fast food. I don't eat it. Like, I absolutely never eat fast food. But thinking back, I loved McDonald's.
Well, it tastes good.
It's delicious. But then you feel awful.
But doesn't it freak? So I feel like I haven't had McDonald's in like 15 years.
Mm-hmm. And the kids have never had it, right?
No. No. And my kids are like, they hear the things that I say and they're now judgy when we pass by McDonald's. They go, that is bad. That is fast food. And then they'll tell me about kids in their class that eat McDonald's.
Oh my gosh, your kids are judgy.
They're totally judgy. I don't mean them to be. I think what gets me is now when I start to see commercials and they'll say something like, now with real white meat. And then you go, What was it?
That's always my first thought too.
It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. It is. And like, I don't know. None of it's good.
Ground up bones mushed together with some
it's
outside.
It's the butcher floor scrapings.
I can't.
Although that is what scramble is.
Let's move on.
All right. So the last one on my list is what we're calling adaptogens.
Yes.
So I had never heard of this, but this is, you're big on the adaptogen train.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying it out. So adaptogens are, a lot of times mushrooms that are like ground up. I want to say medicinal mushrooms, but that sounds weird.
That makes it sound like they're psychedelic.
They're not. So they're in a powder form usually, or you can get them in a pill form. And essentially they work with your adrenal system to help you battle oxidative stress. So going back to that conversation we had about your body creating oxidative stress, creating free radicals, mm-hmm. and that forcing the aging process and things like that. So adaptogens, and there's different ones. I happen to be trying maca right now. That's kind of one of the most common ones. And I just wanted to see how it worked for me. But you're supposed to kind of give your adrenal system what it needs personally for you in order to help you with stress, sex drive, battling free radicals, like whatever, like energy was like the big one for me too. Like, I'm like, I just want a little bit more. But Allison and I were talking about this the other day. I've only been taking maca for like a couple of weeks, but I feel like one thing that it's doing is it's making me like run hot. I'm just hot.
It's cold in Pennsylvania right now. It is quite cold. It's the middle of winter and we were coming back from dinner with some girlfriends and I was freezing cold. I was in my jacket. I was still shivering. She had her jacket open with like a thin cotton t-shirt. And she was like, do you want my jacket? I feel great. And I was like, maybe cool it on the matcha or maca.
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 So I can't report back yet. I don't know. I think part of it, what I'm struggling with really seeing the results from is, again, I mainly took it for stress and energy. I'm just a very stressed out person, so it's like hard to see if that's working for me. But the energy part, I feel like this is a great time for me to start trying to get into an exercise routine and seeing if when I'm in that mode, I'm feeling a little bit more energized. Because mm-hmm. usually, like, I'll get on the Peloton and I'm like 3 minutes and I'm like, I'm tired. So I think this is a good opportunity for me to try to use it mm-hmm. and see if it really is working for me. Although when we were out to dinner the other night, one of our girlfriends randomly, like not knowing that I was doing this, said to me, she was like, you seem really chill today.
Yeah, she did.
And I was like, really?
That stopped after the second margarita, though. Oh, okay. All chill gone.
Maybe that part's not working. But there are others I want to try, and I think I'll cycle them and give them a shot. Because again, some work for some and some don't work for others. Mm-hmm. That's why there's so many. But they are an all natural way to kind of try to battle oxidative stress, energy, stress, all of that.
Maybe you can post.
Yeah, I'd like to. I think it all takes time because I need to see. It might be healthy, but it might do nothing for me. So why would I spend my money on it?
Exactly.
So yeah, well, I'm on the train.
Report back.
I will.
So those were some of like the key trends that I saw, which I think a lot of them are ones we're on board with. I think some of them are ones that we think are probably more on the trendy side than the having longevity. But
the Instant Pot will never die.
That's what she says now. So they said about fondue in the 70s.
Ew.
Everybody will have a fondue pot. I have a fondue pot. Well, I really like it.
I don't. I do not.
So I think it'll be interesting to see how some of these evolve and grow and change. And so I think maybe we'll do something similar at the end of 2018. If you haven't had a chance, we did take a deep dive into what we think the trends will be for 2018. So you can give that a listen and see what's
popular. I'm starting to see some of those things. I
know.
Like one of the things we talked about, and it's top of mind for me because I just saw it, is meringue. I know somebody just reached out to me on my Larissa Explains It All page asking me to take a look at like a protein powder of sorts. And I saw like one of the first ingredients was moringa. And I was like, oh, look at that. And there was adaptogens in it, which was really, really interesting.
Oh,
so I think
it's
sneaking into places and I love it.
So we'll keep an eye on these trends and see what happens.
As always, you can find our drink for the day at silverlinedandwine.com. And you can find any of the things that we've mentioned today at crunchycocktailhour.com in our show notes. Please give us a follow on social media, whether on Facebook or Instagram. And of course, reach out to us if there's any questions that you have or things that you want to hear us talk about. So definitely subscribe. Never miss an episode, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Android, wherever you listen. And we'll see you guys next Friday.
Bye, everyone.